Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is WILP's Wake Up Call, WILP being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we are entering into our 75th year locally. Nationally, we start an internationally started in 1915, but locally we started here in 1935, and this whole year we are going to be celebrating our 75th birthday. We're here today with our guest, Adam Sotek, who is a social worker extraordinaire with Democracy North Carolina, working on campaign finance reform, which has been dealt a severe blow last Thursday by the Supreme Court. So good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So we want to hear about, tell us more about, because some people may not have caught up with what this means, what this decision was.
Well, basically, the ruling in this decision, which was Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, is a ruling that, in summary, backs up property rights and the rights of people with big money to have, you know, what the court would call more free speech. And they, you know, continue to equate money with free speech from the Supreme Court standards, which we, of course, disagree with. And what the ruling essentially does is it allows corporations and unions to have more leeway and have less hoops to jump through if they want to give money to directly influence political campaigns. Now, as you and I know, corporations already have a lot of undue influence over the political process. They already have the right to spend money through PACs, through 527 groups, through many other ways. You know, many of their corporate executives give directly to political candidates in their campaigns and so forth. And so the thought that there's some undue burden on these folks for getting their word and their message out, and that we need to loosen that any more, just makes completely no sense to me or you or probably most of our listeners here. Yeah. I would think we would need to be going in the opposite direction, where we're more proactively stating what voters' rights are and what the people's right to free speech are. What we've essentially done is giving people that already have a megaphone an amplifier.
That, yeah, and if I understand the decision correctly, they've pretty well taken away any kind of restrictions about the money coming in from the corporations. And as the president pointed out in his State of the Union address, looking directly at the Supreme Court sitting there and essentially chiding them for this decision. For a lot of our corporations are also based in, have foreign subsidiaries, a lot of it. So the foreign countries and companies can influence our election without any restriction. Is that how you understand it?
That's pretty much how I understand it, you know, and there'll be a lot of repercussions and things that come out of this ruling that I don't even think we've imagined yet. But, you know, as most of your listeners probably know some about too, it's another one of these ideas that corporations are people and should have the rights of personhood, which, you know, I think too is very wrong-headed. You know, it's saying that they should have, you know, this ability to, again, you know, widely influence what's going on in the political realm with little or no restrictions. Mm-hmm. It's another decision that kind of says, well, the rights of property and you know, the capitalist kind of motives or channels in our society override the democratic ideals. And I think that's unfortunate. You know, we've had some pushback in the courts on that over the years. You know, there was this ban from direct corporate contributions that went back to like 1907.
100 years of rulings.
100 years of precedent. But the truth of the matter is that's been whittled away and moved around and really made a mockery of for years. But the fact that the court will stand up and just boldly kind of state this again, sets a very bad precedent, because now it's just going to open the floodgate for even more of this mess.
Well, you know, this whole thing, WILF has been long concerned with this this idea that the corporations are people, which was some kind of a ruling stuck in some railroad decision right after the Civil War with
the history.
You want to tell us, because this is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. The history is that the clerk of the Supreme Court Chief Justice was a former railroad man at the time in 1886, and in a decision titled, if I remember right, Santa Clara County versus some railroad, they were rendering the decision in court, and prior to actually doing any discussion, the Supreme Court Chief Justice made an offhand remark about corporations being people. So the clerk, being a railroad man, said, okay, I'll write this down. And he put it in the preamble, which has no force of law, and it's the only place it's cited, but it became customary law, essentially.
Wow.
And it was a clerk who had no business writing it in the first place.
It's amazing.
You know, he should have recused himself, probably, or I don't know if you can do that when you're a clerk, but still, the whole thing was very clearly an offhand remark that became one of the most important rulings ever.
Well, Dick, I want to mention to our listeners that the Dick who has just so clearly told us the background of that ruling is Dick Paddock, our engineer, who keeps us on the air every Friday. But this is something WILF has long been concerned about, and I have a T-shirt that has the slogan that during slavery, people were property, and now property is people, according to some of these precedents or ways of looking at things. And that does not make any sense at all. And this is something that goes against anybody's common sense, because they have so many protections by being a corporation. They are so shielded from so many lawsuits or whatever personally. You know, the corporation may be found guilty of this violation or that, but very rarely does the chief officers have to take personal responsibility. And so this is like a double way of protecting them from any kind of personal responsibility. So the Supreme Court obviously has the same mindset of the corporations. It's okay for them to rule the world here. And
Now there's going to be a lot of, and I know we're going to talk some about this, there's going to be a lot of ideas for what we can do now. And I am glad that President Obama kind of directly called out the Supreme Court in his State of the Union address, because I think there needs to be even more attention on this decision and the far-reaching nature of it. But, you know, some folks, and I'm in this camp too, I mean, I'd love to eventually see a constitutional amendment that takes away the rights of corporate personhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we've got to look at this thing, you know, in stages and steps, mm-hmm. and what's realistic. And I think while that needs to be a goal and something we need to be working towards, that we're going to have to look at what we can do in the shorter term,
mm-hmm.
to try to fight back some of the problems of money and politics. And really, this ruling, as bad as it was, it didn't change the mantra of my organization, Democracy North Carolina, and which is everybody's organization, because we're a people-based organization, as well as many of the other reform groups that say one thing that we really need to do is institute more public campaign financing of campaigns, mm-hmm. because that's the type of thing. You know, the fact of the matter is we're never going to get money out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is we can put an alternative stream of clean money, mm-hmm. into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that if folks want to run a different way, it's, mm-hmm. like having a public option. And it's just like we've been talking about with this healthcare reform. If you've got health insurance and you like it and all that good stuff, you can keep it and go on about your business. But we need to have an option for folks that want you know, a different public option that, you know, eventually can become the way that we deal with insurance. This is the way that we want to deal with campaign financing, because there are elections and they should be publicly run and voter owned and operated. We already pay for the voting machines and, you know, the elections board to print out the ballots and process the elections and all of that kind of stuff. You know, our whole process should be run of, by, and for the people.
So I think to our listeners, I think you can tell that Adam Sotek has been in the trenches for a long time, and Democracy North Carolina has been struggling for a long time. And what we're talking about is, what we're trying to do here is public education, because these are not like things that you can have a quick slogan to understand the dimensions of. And so Democracy North Carolina, I'm not sure how many years, but I know for many years you have been trying to do public education to get people to understand that the people need to take back their public officials so that they represent the people and not big moneyed interests. Democracy North Carolina used to be, what, Democracy South?
Yeah, we used to be Democracy South. That started back in 1996.
That's when it started, okay.
And that spun off of the Institute for Southern Studies, which, you know, put out Southern Exposure Magazine.
Yes, and it's still there, right?
Yeah, it's still there. So that was sort of a spin off of that. Mm-hmm. And Democracy South was a whole regional network, which still exists, of groups throughout the South that came together and said, well, what is the common thing we're running into if we're working on environmental justice in Mississippi or things in North Carolina or Alabama? Oh, money and politics. And so we need to work on this together to try to break down some of these barriers.
And I think people a lot of times don't realize, it sounds maybe abstract to them, but this affects our daily lives in so many ways. Like the most recent thing, the struggle with Duke Power about building a coal-fired plant, Cliffside. And right, you know, when we're talking about the new green culture and having things protect our air and our water, and here Duke Power is in the forefront of going backwards with developing this coal plant. And to our elected officials, to get them to really put in regulations and really pay attention to these things, it's an uphill fight. And so it's the little guys struggling to, against all the money. I've been to some of those public utility meetings, and they're sitting there with their suits, you know, high-powered lawyers, and here the people are trying to organize. And it's not a fair fight a lot of times, but the more we can get our elected officials realizing that their power comes from the people and not from these campaign funds, the more we have a chance to be able to breathe our air, drink our water, educate our kids. You know, it comes down to our daily lives, and to get that across to people.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, Lori. I mean, the money in politics, it's not the most glamorous issue, but it affects everything. You know, all the issues that we as a community really care about, from the environmental issues, civil rights issues, economic issues, all this stuff, you better believe that powerful, rich, special interests are working very hard on the other side. They've got the deck stacked in their favor because, you know, not only do they give a lot of money and so forth, I mean, many of their employees become the elected officials. I mean, it's a revolving door of the good old boy network. And, you know, we, the people, have to have a voice within that. And another thing that I think the Supreme Court ruling was very bad, and I think we all agree on that, but corporations have long held this undue influence, like we talked about. They have many ways to get around the rules. Like, everybody's going to hear a bunch of possible reforms now and ways to sort of fix the Supreme Court ruling. And we need to take a look at those, because some of them might be very good. But what we need to be thinking about is what's going to get to the root of the problem. Like this idea of doing a stand by your ad type thing, which I've been hearing people talk about in light of this. So now if a corporation says, hey, you know, vote for Richard Burr or something like that, then they would have to, at the end, their CEO would have to come on the ad like the politicians do and mm-hmm. say, you know, I'm CEO so-and-so and I support this ad. Well, in reality, what they're going to do is they're going to create these front groups and they're going to sort of hide, they're going to veil the disclosure within that so that you're not going to exactly know, at least in real time, who, mm-hmm. where the money is behind those ads and those groups. And so they're going to have so many ways, and they already do, to get around this.
Using these really nice names like that Supreme Court decision, what did you just say at the beginning? Right. It was Citizens United.
Exactly. They always have these very nice-sounding names.
Okay. We are going to take a little break here and let you know that this is WILP's Wake Up Call, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we are so happy and proud to have this terrific underwriter, Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. And you can go to internationalistbooks.org to find out more about it. And this is a cooperative, people-run bookstore that brings you a lot of books that you are not going to find in the big chain bookstores, and books that fit right in with our program, books about, politics and power. Mm-hmm. And culture. So we'll
pick up a copy of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States in honor of his passing.
That's right. Thank you for mentioning that. We lost one of our great educators. Naomi Klein called him the teacher for all of us. She mentioned how it was so wonderful that right at the end of his life, there's been such a resurgence of interest in him. There was the whole big TV program about the people's history, and his books are now bestsellers again, because those lessons about the need for people to organize against powerful interests goes way back to the founding of this country and in every country, you know. And That's right. Internationalist Bookstore, which is also a community resource. And you can find out more about WILP by going to trianglewilp.org. And there you can link to all of our previous radio programs. And we talk about issues that are ongoing. It's not just that day's or that week's headline. So please consider doing that. And if you are having any difficulty with your reception, or you know friends who want to listen who are, you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. So today we again have our... Oh, one other thing Dick just pointed out to me. There's going to be a pancake breakfast. Pancakes. For the benefit of the Orange Methodist Church Emergency Relief Fund. On Saturday, January 30th, this coming Saturday from 8 to 11, in Orange United Methodist Church is on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And this emergency relief fund is to help those in our community who are in desperate need. Funds have been used to provide bedding, fill up gas tanks, provide hotel accommodations after a house fire, etc. So we don't want to forget that there is also suffering and poverty in our own community. And so go get some pancakes on Saturday. Okay, back to our guest, Adam Sotek, who has been working for campaign finance reform for many years, and we're talking about the implications of the Supreme Court decision opening the floodgates for corporate money. It's been there. It's been a problem. Now there are no restrictions, and we're talking about where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, here in North Carolina, there's a lot that people can do to help hopefully fix this problem a little bit. And we have public campaign financing legislation that we're trying to get passed in the General Assembly, and we've been somewhat successful over the years. We've got our foot foot in the door. We've got some public financing for our state's judges. We've got some public funding for a few of the council state races.
Yes.
And
that's so important. And again, This is not the glamorous, you know, this is the slogging along, chipping away to get some power back to the people. So it's not going to make a big headline. But what important work you're doing.
It's like when I first started this, I went to a conference. I remember somebody saying this type of work is a marathon, not a sprint.
And that's
it's definitely the truth. But, you know, and even the town of Chapel Hill, some of the listeners probably know that this last election, Mayor Klein Schmidt, he won as a publicly funded voter-owned elections candidate. Penny Rich was the top vote getter on town council. She was publicly financed. So, you know, it makes a difference at the local, the state, and the national level. I'll say around here, too, I have to give kudos. Senator Ellie Kinnaird has long time. She was a champion on this, but when we were getting laughed out of the General Assembly building over there in Raleigh, she was there with us, along with Senator Wib Gully, with some folks might know, and Representative Mickey Michaud and some others. And Speaker Hackney has been really good on this. You know, he was supportive.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, he was supportive, you know, way back when, too, when he was the, you know, just the rep and not the speaker. But he's maintained and continued to be supportive. But there's a lot of big, powerful special interests in Raleigh that we're fighting against, too, that don't necessarily like this stuff. But we do have an opportunity this year, not only with the Supreme Court stuff, but as folks might have been reading, you know, in the Raleigh paper today, you know, this stuff with Mike Easley and his assistant Ruffin Poole, who's been indicted, and all that kind of stuff coming down the line. There's going to be pressure for reform this summer in the legislature, because that's one thing, as folks might know, you know, a lot of times the politicians, they don't see the light, they feel the heat. And so when they're feeling the heat like this, they say, well, hey, yeah, we need to do something. So what we got to do is direct them and say, well, what you need to do is real reform, like public financing.
Oh, that is so good to hear. I will be sure to read the paper today. Because, people don't realize, you know, our state, how it affects us day by day. And that is encouraging. And I know when you got where the judges were publicly financed, if you've ever had to stand before a judge, you want that judge to be really fair and not be swayed by other interests. And so that each little victory is a big victory, actually. I shouldn't say little victory. Yeah. It's a big victory for the people that you're trying to build on.
Exactly. And at the federal level, too, it's pretty exciting, too. You know, honestly, during the Bush years, we were really stalled in Congress with any kind of real reform. I'm sure people aren't too surprised by that.
No.
But there is legislation that's getting more traction than it ever has for federal public campaign financing for congressional races, for Senate and House. It's called the Fair Elections Now Act. And if people go to this website, fairelectionsnow.org, you can read more about it. But in the House, it has about 126 co-sponsors now, including 5 from North Carolina. David Price.
Good for David.
Good for him. Brad Miller.
Okay.
Mel Watt, Larry Kissel, and then one of the primary sponsors is Republican Walter Jones from down on the coast.
That Walter Jones, you can't help but be tickled, because in some ways he is not a progressive, but boy, oh boy, when he is, it just electrifies you, because it's such a surprise.
I know. And I tell you, he takes a lot of heat for it, believe me.
I bet he does. He's down from around Fayetteville, isn't he?
Yep, down, I think, right around Jacksonville. Down towards the coast.
And,
But, you know, he's standing in there. And then on the Senate side, there's main sponsors of it, too, like Dick Durbin, you know, I think is the main sponsor, and Arlen Specter. So,
and can I ask about our North Carolina senators?
No North Carolina senators.
Not even Kay Hagan?
Not even Senator Hagan. And we would love for Senator Hagan to be a co-sponsor.
Okay, maybe we need to start sending her some more. We've been sending her letters about health reform and trying to get her to not be one of those Republican senators who pretend to be a Democrat, and we've got to keep the heat on her. She's a Democrat, and we've got to help her be a progressive Democrat.
Yeah, and having someone like her, it would be very supportive.
It would
know?
Be.
And
would be.
Just like, you know, trying to get some more of the congressional people from North Carolina. But that's something that's exciting, you know.
It
and,
is
and
exciting.
I think it's going to be talked about even more, hopefully, in light of this Supreme Court decision. But it's going to take us, the people, making it happen for sure.
So you, what your task and what Democracy North Carolina does is try to get the word out, work with our legislators and try to educate them, but that get the word out to the people so that they help Democracy North Carolina put the heat, as you said, to, so that our legislators see the light. And that's a daunting but important task, and I appreciate that you all do that.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's fun. You
know? Yeah.
It's hard, and it can be sometimes you can get a little frustrated. But, it's great for me. We get to go all over the state, work with folks that are doing amazing things, and hopefully try to help build a better grassroots movement for democracy.
Well, our dear, beloved activist friend who just passed, Howard Zinn, I think I heard, I'm paraphrasing, that he said, you know, there's no more meaningful thing you can do with your life than be in the struggle for justice. And that this is, you use the word fun, it's the most, you meet the best people, it's the most engaging thing. And to know that you're there fighting for the good, you know, and doing your part is makes your life, it does make it meaningful. It gives you a purpose along with whatever other purposes you have in life. That is so important, something above and beyond just your narrow interests with yourself and your family, the greater good. It's no better thing to do in your life.
and one thing, if I could just quickly mention, we're trying to pass it on. We've done a program. This will be our 11th summer. We always have a Democracy Summer Internship program because we want to help young people learn about organizing and stuff too. So if anybody knows any college students, you know, young people ages 18 to 23, 24, who are interested in learning about this stuff, they should go to our website, democracy-nc.org, and they should look at this Democracy Summer Program. It's a paid summer internship, and they work in different cities across the state, going out and talking to people about these important issues.
That is really exciting, because that's something we're talking about with WILP for our 75th birthday, you know, that we got to pass the torch. We've got to get and show the young people how to be engaged, how to organize. You know, a lot of them, I think, care, but they may not have the direction on how to actually get that engaged and involved. That's wonderful. So again, that to get in touch with Democracy Dash.
Yeah, democracy dash nc
org. And yes, be thinking about that. And a lot of us know some young people who we could let them know about this wonderful opportunity. We still have a couple of minutes. One minute. I'm looking at the wrong clock. Well, I just want to thank my dear friend Adam Sotak.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you, Lori, and thank WILF. I mean, I love the organization WILF and the issues that you all stand for peace and freedom throughout the world, and you know, the all of these issues that tie into foreign policy and all of those, world poverty and things. I mean, again, money and politics in the United States all plays into all of those as well. But I know WILF has been out there doing it a long time. And
thank you for those kind words, because WILP has been, we are involved in injustice issues in the community, in the nation, and internationally. And a lot of people don't realize we have that international connection. We've got to toot our horn about that on our 75th birthday, because it is exciting. We have NGO status at the UN, and that makes us unique.
Yeah.
From a lot of other organizations who are that we're in solidarity with, working on these important peace and justice issues. Mm-hmm. Again, Adam Sotak has been here from Democracy North Carolina. And thank you, Dick. And we'll be here next week. Please listen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.